Let's see. Didn't give me much time this morning, did we? You know, I was planning on doing this for 2 weeks. That just confirmed. It will be a two-week series now. Next week's Palm Sunday, so it's going to go right into it. Here's what I'd like to start for the next couple weeks, getting ready for Easter, the celebration of the resurrection. We're going to start a little series today on distractions, as I think Kenny already alluded to. But one of the things my heart is drawn to, we have to get focused. We have to really begin to get our gears going in a way that's really powerful for the kingdom. And I want to tell a story, and it's a kind of a funny story, and you wonder, how in the world do I get put in situations like this? But it's true. My wife already knows the whole story. I told it to her just so you guys know that it's not that weird. But I had the privilege of doing a job estimate way north of here this week. When I got there, it was a very strange home. It was a mother with two daughters, and the daughters at 14 and 16 were dropping the F-bomb more than I'm like, wow, I'm in the wrong place today. So it was really bad. I was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. I wonder what I'm going to find out here soon. And then it gets better. She says, oh, I used to work in the city right down there. I've been a stripper at the strip club. I'm like, this is great. It is like, this is wonderful. And by the way, I'm just going to let you know, the rumors that you see about this, I would have never seen any reason why you'd want to go see it. It's not like this person looked like that. I'm like, I just need to leave. But I didn't, because, of course, I was looking at the job. And finally, at one point, it worked out there. So you're a nice guy. What's about you? I said, I'm married. Right away, I said, I'm married. Oh, you're married. That's great. Just make this clear, and I'm leaving soon. But I couldn't, because all of a sudden, this person began to pour their life out at me. And I said, I just want you to know something. Besides doing this is what I do for fun on the side, work. I'm actually a pastor of a church. And she looked at me and she goes, you got to be effing kidding me. I go, no, I'm not actually, and I'm glad you're so free. She goes, well, and then she says, quote, I'm not going to stop the way I talk. I said, I didn't expect you to. I've been around you for about 15 minutes, and I've heard more than I need to. And she says, oh, my dad was a pastor. I go, wow, it gets better. And she said, you know what? I told my dad before he died, the one thing I want to do is I want him to take him to work with me one day. I bet you that went over pretty well. Says, so you're telling me you don't go to strip clubs? I go, nope, sorry, not quite the way I live. She's like, well, I need to get you. I said, you know what, let's get this job thing done, let's go. I said, I'm not interested. And she says to me, right before I left, after able to share a little bit with her about the Lord, which she did stop her language, by the way, she says, I just really appreciate you coming. And I guess it really hit me that, maybe there are some things in my life I need to think about. So that was good. So all to say, I left there, and it was really a weird feeling, because as I was preparing this week, last week I was telling them about the series I want to start. The enemy would love to put us in places in our life to forget that we're kingdom-focused. The kingdom of God needed to manifest in a home of a stripper. Let's make it that clear. Just the kingdom of God needs to go where we're not going. And granted, I don't think I would go there. Now, I knew her kids were there. She told me her kids were there, so I wouldn't have went there anyways, especially now knowing her occupation. But I would have made that clear. But as those girls were there listening to every word I said, and I started sharing them about, I've been sharing the gospel with them, it was like, well, my dad was this, and my dad was basically a very legalistic upbringing in this. And I said, well, you know what? Your dad knew the word, obviously. And maybe you didn't like the way it was presented, but I know the word is true and God loves you. And I mean, obviously, if that's all I'm here for today, is to let you know that. That's it. And I left there with a little knot in my gut because I didn't take it any further. I didn't know where else to go. Now we got to go back up there to do the work. And I'm going to be bringing the whole crew so we get to all share Jesus with them. But my heart is this. What if we go to places like that and we're not ready? What if the gospel needs to go where we're not bringing it? What if it goes to your workplace? What if it goes beyond the four walls? I was talking to someone last week, and we were sharing about how the church equips us, strengthens us, and helps us get ready. But if we don't ever take it out to the streets, lives don't get changed. The kingdom doesn't advance. We can't just talk kingdom in here and not out there. So whether it's going to Walmart, whether it's going to Kroger, whether it's going to wherever, we have the privilege and opportunity, but we allow our lives to get so distracted that we walk into Walmart or we walk into wherever you're going when the battleground is there, when the kingdom can be advanced, and we become consumed with our own stuff. And as we're consumed with our own stuff, we don't have the privilege and the opportunity to do what God's called to do. And I feel like over the next couple weeks, I want to share some things about distractions. And Kenny just did a series, and so if you want to start, open your Bibles to where he left off in Mark 4. This was his idea, by the way, so I'm taking your idea, Kenny. He said, good, you can tag right on where I ended. I said, good, we'll start there then. But Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to start, but I want to define some words as you're going there first. So Mark 4, as you are turning to this parable that Kenny did a few weeks on, and it was really good. Let's start at verse 17, because the first two, okay, we had four soils that he talked about, or that Mark, Luke, that Jesus talked about. The first one, it was just seed to the ground, trampled up, it did nothing. It literally was just like throwing seed in the gravel. It's not going to. The other one, they got a little bit in there, but in verse 17, and no root in themselves, so they were not endure. Verse 17, and having no root in themselves, and so endure for such a time, afterward, when affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they got offended. And so offense comes. So when we're not allowing the word to get in us, we allow ourselves to get moved, to get offended, and we get things come in the word and attacks the word, and it wasn't deep at all, and we walk away. One of the biggest debates it seems like church people want to fight about is, can you lose your salvation? Can you do this? You know, I'm not going to argue the whole once saved, always saved, because to me it's a silly argument. I'm secure in Christ because he died for me, and I'm going to live in him, and he's going to live in me, and we're going to heaven. That's the bottom line. I'm not going to argue silly things. That's the word. We're going to go, and I'm going to persevere to the end. He's my God, and I'm going to serve him and live for him. I'm not going to worry about whether I can quit or whether I fall. But here's the problem. We look at these verses right here and wonder, was the person saved or not saved? I don't know, but here's what we do know. The seed didn't bear any root. It didn't get any deeper. It got there. They got excited for a moment. Maybe they went to a Billy Graham crusade, and they raised their hand, they prayed the prayer, but it didn't go anywhere. Because as soon as they left there, it was an emotional experience, and they never really had an encounter and a meeting with the true God. And then we have that horrible verse in Matthew 7 where he says, Lord, I've done all this in your name. I've prophesied. I've cast out devils. I've done all this. He goes, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I didn't know you. You might have had this thing with me, and you might have thought this, but you were operating as if you knew me, but we didn't have a relationship. And that's what we've got to guard ourselves with, that we know him and we know him intently and deeply, that our hearts are so in tune with him. We know him. But then this third C to me is the one that I think applies more to the church than any. And that is that the word gets in us. And I really like verse 18 because you're going to see it. The word actually began to bear fruit in them. Look at this. It says in 18, and these are such that were sown among thorns, such as they hear the word. The cares of this world, the deceitful of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful, which implies the word was fruitful to start with. You can't have deceitfulness of riches if you didn't get rich in the first place. And again, people don't like this, but I believe we serve a God who cares about your finances too. And so we have a God who wants to bless you. And so he gives you things. He gives you the blessing financially. And the lust means you want more of what you got. It chokes the word. So you start enjoying and tasting the blessing of God, whether it's physically, financially, spiritually, and you're enjoying all the blessings of God. And yet it becomes the snare to you. You allow the blessing to rule you. And as the blessing begins to rule over you, you start getting distracted and carried away by wanting more, wanting more, wanting more. And you lost how you got there in the first place. The word was sown in you to bring blessing and fruitfulness to your life. And as you were being fruitful, you began to lust for more. This is the problem with the rich young ruler. Jesus confronted him and said, hey, if you want to follow me, you got to sell everything you got and give it to the poor, and then follow me. He goes, I can't do that. He goes, and then the rich young ruler makes a statement here. He says, I have followed your words, the law, since I was a kid. I know how I got rich. I know I'm living a life that's right. But the problem is, at some point in this man's life, his riches got him. He was unable to do what God told him to do because Jesus was not saying, hey, I want you to be poor if you follow me. He was saying, if you want to follow me, I got to have your whole heart. He wasn't worried about the pocketbook because he knows that the money will follow the ministry. He already knew that. Why do you think Jesus had a treasure? So they had no money? If Judas was stealing regularly from the treasury and they didn't know it, how much money do you think was in that bag? More than $3. Unless he was only stealing a nickel a week. I'm saying there had to have been. Jesus was not consumed with money. Money followed what he did, but we get consumed by money. We get consumed by lust and wanting more, and that begins to choke out. And what that does, it becomes this unfruitful ground. Starts out good, but then they become distractions in our life. We want more. We want this. We want that. And we don't realize we've lost our focus. Rather than letting the word work in us, we're trying to do it ourselves. And we're letting it get us rather than us get it. And I know in my own life, as I'm preaching and preparing for this message, trust me, I had a very good week of a lot of distractions to prove that I'm preaching exactly to myself this morning. So I want you to know, if it was busy, I get a call at 11:30 Friday night saying, this was supposed to be done. So I get up at the crack of dawn, have to cancel a meeting that morning and get to this job in Brownsburg. And I'm like, oh, why? And I allow myself to get busy, busy, busy. But you know what? Busyness is not wrong as long as it's being led by the Spirit too. There's things that do come up in life, but are we just being busy and being a distraction in our lives? So we'll talk about a little bit about distractions. So the verse 19, then the cares of the world, they enter and they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. We have a privilege right now after hearing a great 5-week series by Kenny on the soil that we want to become. We want to be good soil. We want to grow and we want to be fruitful in everything we do. If that's the case, we've got to make sure that some of those weeds, those tares, and all this stuff that's choking out the presence of God, the word of God in our lives, we've got to get rid of those distractions in our life so we can get back kingdom focused. Amen? So with that said this morning, let's jump to I want to share one more thing, distraction. Here's some definitions that I found that I really like, and that's why I had to run and get my computer because I realized I left them on there. The word distraction means it's a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. So if the enemy is trying to use distractions in our life and you want to give full attention to be a kingdom person, kingdom minded, kingdom thinking, kingdom giving, kingdom everything, what's the thing's going to do? The enemy is going to try to get us distracted so we prevent ourselves from giving ourselves fully to what the Lord has for us. There'll be a mixture involved somewhere. Well, I give this, I do this, but I'm not giving all this. Some of the synonyms for this: interruptions, disturbances, intrusions, interference, obstructions, hindrances. If you feel like these things are happening in your life, these are distractions that are blocking you from being effective. And we're going to talk about a few of those in a minute. Another definition: extreme agitation of our mind and our emotions. Now, folks, if you don't know the battleground for the enemy is in your mind and your emotions, you've not been saved very long. Our minds are the battleground for the enemy. And we'll get to that in a minute because I don't want to jump into it. But this is where, by the way, I love this. The synonyms for this, some of you right now, do not get too crazy over this because some of these are like, oh, that's me. Insanity, number one. It's not. Wildness, mania, derangement, delirium, madness, distress. If you ever feel this way, it's a distraction. Well, it's a mental condition. It's a distraction. We can medicate you. You can, but it's a distraction. The enemy wants to make you feel like you're out of control. He wants to make you feel that these distractions are pulling you and robbing you of your peace to live in every day. These are distractions that are robbing you from living the fullness of God. They're distractions. So you have the externals, we have the internals, and then here are two definitions that were written out somewhere I read online earlier in the week. I don't know what it was. A distraction is something that takes your attention away from what you're supposed to be doing. If you just can't keep from checking, I love this part. Y'all are laughing already, and the problem is you know where it's going. I'm about to make an announcement, and many of y'all are going to like really have some fun with it. Checking your email, Facebook, social media, whatever it is, every 10 seconds, that is a distraction that's going to interfere with you doing what you're supposed to. A distraction can also be pleasant at times, but these are not what I'm talking about today. Distraction is the process of diverting the attention of an individual or group from a desired area of focus and thereby blocking or diminishing the reception of desired information. So that's the last one. That is the job of the enemy, is to block you from going where you have to. Now, a couple weeks ago, Diane sent me an email and said to me, I'm gonna misquote her on purpose here. She said, "Did you unfriend me on Facebook?" She goes, "I can't find any of our messages. What's going on?" And we had an exchange a couple years ago, about four years ago, that we were going back and forth with, and there's a word she gave me, and then I gave her the response over Facebook Messenger. Well, of course, I wanted so badly to say, "Yes, I unfriended you," and I decided about a month, 5 weeks ago, that I had to get off of social media. I wasn't on it much anyways, but let me tell you, this is what happened. I don't have my phone with me, so you guys are just going to get a little more information than you want. Just heads up, okay? This is a little TMI for you. But what happens is I'd grab my phone, and if I'm not doing anything, I got to go to the bathroom. I sit down, and I start scrolling through Facebook. Come on, everyone does toilet time. Don't even lie. You're like, that is just TMI. You all do it. So then you sit there, and you read, and you're going, "Oh, I can't believe this person. Oh, my goodness." And I can't believe that gets me sick to my stomach. And social media, there's so much out there on social media, people have no boundaries. And I realized I'm not participating. I've not posted on social media ever. What am I doing? I'm doing nothing more than just spying almost. I feel weird. I don't really want to know some of the things I know anymore. I feel kind of violated. I want out of this life. And this person is just crying for attention, and you start seeing all these things, and you start getting moved, and what do you do later in the day? You got to get your phone back up to find out what's going on, and let's see if, and the worst, I got to see how many likes I got on my comment. And then I got to see how many things, and then it's just nonstop, and it's an addiction that is ruling our lives. You can't go 5 minutes without checking your Facebook. You got a problem. Or Instagram, or Snapchat, or whatever else they got here. If you are addicted, you got to stop. This is a major distraction, whether it's your computers, whether it's your emails, whether it's your video games. These are distractions that are robbing you from being real with people. We were in Mexico with a couple, and it was very comical because the husband was over there doing the very thing I just was doing like this, joking like he was talking to his wife, and I won't say her name. And he goes, hey, like, couldn't even get her attention. And of course, he's a very funny individual anyways. And he's here, and he's looking at me, and I'm just like almost crying, not to cry laughing. And he literally never got her attention, not once. And she's just doing this and screaming. I'm thinking, wow. And he goes, "This is my life." And then he makes a comment that was so funny that I literally was crying laughing. And he goes, "This is the story of my life," and so we'll leave it at that. But I watch and go, they're funny and it's funny, but how many lives in America today are that's true? How's your intimate time of communicating with your spouse? Do you have to have the phone around to check Facebook? Or Instagram? Are we in a position right now that if we're honest with ourselves, we have a problem allowing ourselves to be distracted, whether it's TV. I mean, Netflix is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, Longmire is a show that has to be watched, and it's complete. See, every season has to be watched at once. It's terrible. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, "No, I can't turn this off yet. He got shot. I gotta watch it." And it's terrible. It's terrible. It's evil. These distractions, though. They get you, and they pull you in, and there's another series, and when you're done with that one, there's another one to be watched. Or what about DVR? We have a life that the enemy has got a great opportunity out there, and he doesn't have to do nothing but just keep making shows. Well, he's making them. Some he might be, by the way. But we have allowed ourselves to let this not only our lives, but to rule our lives. How many of you, if you're honest, you schedule things around your TV shows? Not anymore because we've got DVR. You know, nice try. I know, you used to. We've allowed ourselves to be inundated by the world system. And rather than how many times this, I know it's a tragedy day because if somebody actually texts you, you don't text them back in 36 seconds flat. Or if you're me, I just realized this morning when I saw someone texting me this week, I'm like, I got my phone out when I got from Mexico, because I had 27 text messages come through at 10:50 last Saturday night. I'm like, and I haven't even still gotten to them all. And I hate it, but you know, it's just, there's so much. And you know what? We live in a life where we feel pressured. I got. Back in the day, I don't know if you remember, growing up in my home, we had a phone on the wall. And it rang, and we were eating. That thing rang, buddy. We didn't have voicemail. It just kept ringing. And you know what? Every one of us kids, and especially us in high school, were like, that's probably so-and-so for me. And you'll never know. You will never know. And you're eating going, I bet you that was a very serious girlfriend of mine that I was probably going to marry one day, you know? Or, oh, I bet you so-and-so called me. And we'll never know. Mom and Dad didn't let you answer that phone. We were eating dinner. One phone on the wall with about it started with a 10-foot cord, right? And I tell you, all you kids are like, oh my gosh. And then by the time you got it going, it was like 12 feet, 15 feet. And then it was like, you guys? So they bought a 15-foot cord and it got to a 20-foot cord. And then finally they realized, we got to go cordless. And that's when technology got crazy. Technology got crazy. We started doing those cordless phones. And then all of a sudden, beep, beep, it's dying again. I've been on the phone that long. Or they didn't have call waiting back then, and my dad called the operator to break in my call. That was great. I was the operator. Yeah, what? Because my dad was tired of getting a busy sign. Remember, that's the day. Okay, I better stop. That's not even in my notes. We've allowed ourselves, though, that a cell phone, we can't read our Bible without having a phone next to us. Heaven forbid, trying to go into a place where you put your phone aside and let one worship song play all the way through without thinking about texting someone back or checking on Facebook or Instagram. We've allowed ourselves to live a life of distractions. And we've got to get ourselves free of these things because the enemy is robbing us from the fullness of being kingdom people that we're called to be. So this morning, there's two verses, Matthew 22:37. This is a verse that everybody should know. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the number one command Jesus gave us. It's the number one command. And he goes, then love your neighbor as yourself. And later on in 1 John, it says, actually, if you do the first one, you're going to automatically do the second one. If you love your neighbor, we know you're loving God. We know they go together. But Jesus said this, if you want to go and live a life to honor me, the very first thing you do is you got to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. That means no distraction. It means not partial attention. It doesn't mean you worship. And you know, and I'm going to be real honest because I didn't get to see any of this morning because I was in there transferring all this stuff over and writing more stuff. I'm just so excited about this. As I was getting there, I used to have the ability to hear conversations that took place during worship. Don't let you become a distraction to somebody worshiping either. They came in, and we give 30 minutes. Literally, it's about 35 minutes we worship, maybe 40. Today, maybe a little bit longer, but it's okay. We worship non-distracted. You can't be on your phone. Well, you shouldn't be because we're focusing on the King. And I'm not gonna get too vulnerable with you this morning because I don't want to. But after I got done sharing what I shared, all of a sudden, I just started having tears in my eyes, realizing how much more there is for us to have than we're experiencing. We come in here and we sing songs, but we don't realize we're not just singing words. We're worshiping a King. We're honoring a King's presence. And when that kind of royalty comes in there, we ought to be a little bit more observant and less distracted. And that's what I hope. Whether we open up the King's words himself, we ought to come in here and be less distracted and more observant. We've got to rid ourselves of some of these things that are robbing us and choking the word out of our lives. Because I will tell you that Facebook, for me, began to rob me of my joy. Because I started reading things that really distracted me. And I started getting angry and bothered by things. And then, of course, what I do, an hour later, I go check on it to see if it changed, like it got any better. That was silly. And then you live yourself. I realize it's been freeing to just live my life before the Lord. And not have that distraction. I'm not saying Facebook's bad, folks, please. And I'm not saying you have to get off it. I'm saying it's a distraction. If it is, maybe you ought to have a time of the day where you set aside to do certain things and you just don't let this become something that rules you. The second verse that I have in there is Luke 9:62. It says, he who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. A lot of times we think we're going to run with Jesus, we're going to go all out, but we keep looking back. And that same scripture was talking about when Jesus says, well, what about the we got to go bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. You need to stay focused in following me. At one point he says, you need to abandon mother, father, dog, cat, child, horse, get all, focus on me. He's not saying those things aren't important. He's saying if they're more important than following him, they're a distraction. Your children, I'm sorry, can be a distraction. Have you ever tried to pray with a kid running? Mommy, mommy, I'm trying to pray. Your prayer life stinks after that, by the way. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I just kicked my kid. Have we tried to? So these aren't bad things. They're part of life, but you have to learn to work around those things. That you decide to lock them in a closet. No, you don't do that either. You find a way to make time where you can. It's discipline. It takes work. It takes discipline to do things for the kingdom. Maybe you have to work. Okay, then pray on the way to work. There's ways you can be effective in letting these distractions to work. They will be in your life. You'll always have these things. But when you put them in the right order, and that's the last thing I'm going to share next week more, by the way. I won't get to it this week. But when you start looking at 1 John 5:21, don't turn there. It's okay. It says this, guard yourself from idols. And where I'm going to end next week is this. If a distraction stays in your life long enough, it becomes an idol to you. And this is a great definition that Dr. Malone wrote in our training years ago. The definition of idolatry is anything we put value in, self-worth in, that puts itself above the Lord. Anything that you put more value in than God himself or his word. Anything that you put self-worth in becomes an idol in your life if you're not careful. If these things are higher than that in your life, so distractions can become idols if we're not careful. And this scripture in 1 John says, guard yourself. And Kenny started the whole season series. This is why these go well together so well. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. Guard it. Why? Because as Kenny preached for 5 weeks, we're a garden. And the word's got to come in there. When distractions come in there all the time. I mean, it's really hard to pray when you're letting your little ringtone on your Facebook or your Instagram or your Snapchat go nonstop. You know, I had the privilege of working with some of these, the younger group that has Snapchat, and I'm saying, I have no idea how many times people can get messages in a matter of 30 seconds. These phones fly. We've got to choose to not let these things distract us. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. And let's keep the scripture going, and then we'll see if we can't get to any of these points before I close in about 5 minutes, because we're going to do communion in a minute, too. You know what, Kenny? I think I'll get the introduction then today. How's that? That's what we're going to go for. My aim is to get the introduction done. Okay. Starting at verse 15, if you have it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't write that. That's pretty good. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. He that rids himself of the lust of the world, the love of these things in the world, the distractions the world brings, you'll abide forever. Are we kingdom focused? Do we realize that when we die on this earth, there's a world ahead of us that it should be the manifestation of what we're living now? If there's a stark difference between the way you're living now and the way heaven's going to be, I think we need to change this now. We ought to be living as if heaven's on earth. That was the prayer that we've been taught to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. We ought to be praying that we become so kingdom-minded that the kingdom of heaven is manifesting every day in my life on this earth. And the only way it happens is if we get focused as a kingdom person. When you run to somebody that's irritable, that has different political persuasions and different beliefs in you, and they have all these different ideas, and you just want to hate them so bad, remember, what would Jesus say to that person? John 8 is one of my favorite passages I go to all the time. When the woman was caught in adultery, he challenged the accusers first, and then he challenged the one being accused last. After they walked away, he said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? They're gone. Neither do I condemn you." And that's not where he left it, right? Now go and leave your life of sin. That's what Jesus would do. He would love them, and he would get rid of the religious, judgmental people out of the way first so he could show love to the person. When we do that ourselves, are we part of the ones judging and criticizing? We got to be kingdom focused, kingdom minded. And so look, that's the heart I have today. We have to let the cares of this world, the deceitful riches, the lust of the life, the pride of life, all these things have to be rid of our lives because they're just distractions blocking us from being kingdom minded. Next week, I'm going to get into, really, I already got into the social media one, so point number one is done. But I will talk about busyness a little bit. Guys, anybody remember Scott Hodson? Came to church here before he passed. I was driving back from Bloomington with him one day, and I was meeting some friends of his down there. And I never heard this, and I'm sure many of you have heard this before. That was the first time I heard it years ago. And he says, "You know what busyness is?" I said, "No, I don't." It's being under Satan's yoke. To be busy. B-U-S-Y. And I go, "Really?" So I wrote that down. I remember every time I say that, I remember Scott. But when we get busy, you put yourself under the yoke of Satan. Because you're not spirit-led when you're busy-led. When our financial issues come in your life and you begin to be so focused about money, it's not kingdom focus. And I know when money's tight, because things get tight for all of us, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches. Whose riches? His riches. So when money gets tight, when bills got to be paid and payroll has to be made or whatever you're going through in life, you go, this is going to be interesting to see happen. Lord, thank you that you are my provider. And I'm going to trust you in it. These are things that rob you, the distractions that rob us from being effective. If you're constantly worried about money, what are you focused on? Money. But when you're focused on seek ye first, Matthew 6:30, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added under you, who are you seeking then? Your provider. He is your provider, and he'll do it for you. So this morning, let's end with that, because there's no way I'm going to get the rest of this done. And my conclusion's really good. I just want to warn you up front. It's really good. So we'll get that next week. But next week we're going to talk, and the reason why I want to tag it in with this is next week is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday was the greatest blessing and distraction of any day of the year. Think about it. I'll get to it next week. Hosanna, Hosanna, woohoo! And then that wore off pretty quick, didn't it? Next thing you know, the same people were going, kill him, crucify him. What a weird turn of events. And then the next week, we're going to talk about the celebration of what we're here for. Amen? So there's the next 3 weeks being laid out for us. We're going to enjoy them, but we're going to get rid of these distractions this week. Amen? So as we take communion, this was going to end a little bit different because I was supposed to have gotten through all my points, but I didn't. And that is, as we're passing them out, go ahead, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. As we're taking communion this morning, I would like for you to, when you get the bread and the juice, to hold on to it. And I want you to thank you very much, Kelly. I'm going to grab one of these. I want you to take this bread in just a second. And look at this as Jesus said he broke, his body was broken for us. I want you to look at this as every distraction in your life. Some of you right now, I know we might have hammered Facebook a little bit too much. Or we might have got money or your busyness. And I didn't get to the last point either about our minds and some other things that are going on. There's a lot of distractions in our life right now that this can represent. And today, I just want to encourage you. Are you willing to yield those things over to the Lord? Are you really willing right now? You know, I saw somebody say, I'm going to get rid of social media for Lent. Okay, that's cool. But what if social media didn't get you, but you had it? What if it was a vehicle to be what it was meant to be for, and that's a way to communicate and enjoy your social life on the internet? But what if it wasn't such an addiction in your life? I'm not saying these things are wrong. I'm saying we've let them rule us. Whether it's money, your time, your mind, your busyness, whatever these things are today, I would like for you, as they're passing us out and the worship team is going to play just a few seconds, I would like for you to be before the Lord and to say, Lord, I want to repent of my distractions I've let in. I've been around people where they can't let that phone down. And I've been one of those people too, by the way. As I said, I'm preaching to myself just as much as anybody. You know what I found out? If you don't deal with the root, as my son picks at me, I put social media down, but I got this little game. It's like called 2048. Anybody ever play it? I beat it every time I play it now. I'm so good. That's because I realized when I was void of doing something, I got my phone and my son goes, Dad, you know you're playing a game from like 10 years ago. It's like, I don't think my phone was out 10 years ago. But anyways, I get picked on for that too. But you find yourself that when one distraction leaves, what happens? Another one comes in. So it's not Facebook. It's not your games. It's you. We want to be distracted. We want something to occupy our time. And what if that time was spent better? What about this? What if you went online? I'm going to encourage you this week. Everybody do this for me, please. And I'm going to do it myself because I've not done it. And Kenny, you can't hear me, can you? Oh, you can. What if every one of you this week, when you get your text message or your email from the church that the podcast is, what if turning off social media, how's it, 7 minutes? 7 minutes. What if you put your phone, download the podcast, and listen to Pastor Kenny for 7 minutes this week? That's a challenge. If you like that one, there's a whole, is there a bunch of, all the back ones are on there too. What's the last series you did? Who We Are in Christ, how many weeks? 15 or 16 weeks. You wanna know who you are in Christ? Go get on podcast and let that be your time to soak into. What are you doing? What, you start a new one, what's this one? Healing, what better? You got some pain in your life? Go listen to that. Let 7 minutes of a podcast take your time up rather than something else. And if you like that podcast, I heard there's a lot of other ones too. I'm going to have to learn how to do all that because I don't know how, but I imagine it's pretty easy. But what if we occupied our time doing that and letting the kingdom advance in our hearts rather than something that was just a waste of time flipping squares to try to get the numbers to match up so you could win a game? Amen? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And I know in my life I'm guilty of this. That's why I'm sharing it. Sometimes I like distractions. Sometimes I embrace them because it allows me to get to put myself out of something I'm struggling with or whatever it is. Whatever reason we allow ourselves to be distracted is real. So today, I confess that it's sin. It's distracting me from being kingdom focused. It's distracting me from time with you and your word in my life. So I'm asking you right now, to fill that void with you. I repent of allowing myself to fill that void with anything else but you. Every distraction. As you're here in this moment, just a minute, some of you don't understand how much worry you like it because it occupies your time. You hate it, but you embrace it because I've heard it said before, if I'm not worried about something, something must be wrong. Folks, that's the devil. Distraction. Imagine living in God's perfect peace instead. So as we hold this bread and this cracker in our hand today, it represents all these things that we've put before you, these distractions that have choked out the word in our lives and choked out our peace. And today we come and we thank you that Jesus paid the price for every distraction to be annihilated, destroyed, so we can have perfect relationship with you. So today, if you mean it, I want you to do and partake with me in just a second. I'm ready to let this go. Some of you, just like when it comes to other debatable issues, some of you have to quit cold turkey because you don't know, maybe you need to for a while. Some of you might never be able to pick it up again. Some of you have enough discipline to say, you know what? I'm just going to change this. But today is a day where you repent for letting it have you. And so we thank you today for the grace and the power to repent for these things that are distracting us. And we do this, we take this now in Jesus' name. And as we hold this juice, it represents freedom. I want you to know, this is freedom here. This is freedom. Freedom from distraction, freedom from bondage, and freedom from all the things that hold us back from being kingdom focused. So today, I thank you, Jesus, that I am free from the addiction of whatever this might be, of social media, whatever, of games, of whatever's pulling me away distraction-wise. Worry, doubt, all these things that control me. I thank you today. I repent of them, and the blood cleanses me and frees me. So we thank you for the blood, and we enjoy the freedom together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dust. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth, and all hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world, and all hail King Jesus. And all hail the Lord of heaven and earth, and all hail King Jesus. And all hail the Savior.
Have a blessed